From the land of Grand University at Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 13th day of August, 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. The folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County will be along to look at the cash grain market. We'll discuss the weather forecast with Chesapeake Energy up on the 23rd floor of the Boeing building in Chicago, Illinois, looking down on the loop on this beautiful afternoon. And then we'll take up along the way crop insurance and indemnity payments, claims in particular, and discuss with Steve Worthington of Country Financial just what a producer ought to do when contacting an agent about a claim, and how segregation must happen for some of that drought-stricken corn, and in particular for aflatoxin. And it all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood and Paul Stevens of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123.
In Chicago, on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day lower. Nearby contract for the September wheat at $8.56, down 29 and a quarter for the day. December futures at $8.77, 24 and a quarter lower. And the July of next year, that's the harvest month for the soft red at $8.42 and a quarter, down 9 and three quarters. The hard red July in Kansas City at $8.77. finished 5 cents lower as it closed out for the day. Of course, these are not settlement prices yet. September contract in the corn pit, 784 on its close, down 16. December at 793 and a half, 15 and three quarters lower. And the March corn at $7.96, down 16. The May at 792, 15 and a quarter lower. July corn futures, 782 and a quarter, down 15 and three quarters in Chicago. And September down 7 at $6.75 for the day. December of next year at 643, down 6 and a half. August beans at $16.64 and three quarters, down 44 and three quarters. September 16.21, down 52 and a quarter. And the harvest month, November, soybeans at $6.02 and a half cents, down 41 and a half. January at $15.94 and a quarter, down 41 and three quarters, or rather down 41 and a quarter. And the May contract at $14.47 and a quarter, down 29 and a half cents. Bean meal finished at $5.33. That's up, or rather down $11.50. And the bean oil at $53 and a penny, down 59 cents. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the Mercantile Exchange numbers look like on the afternoon. August feeder cattle at 121, rather August live cattle at 121.82 and a half, up $1.22 and a half. The August feeders at 141.45, up $1.97 and a half. And August lean hogs today at $91.95, 7.5 cents higher on the afternoon. The outside markets finished up the crude oil at $92.84, still trading, down 3 cents. Ethanol at $2.56 and 4 tenths, that's 4.5 cents lower. Natural gas at $2.73 and 3 tenths, down 3 and 7 tenths. And the heating oil, or diesel fuel, just about a tenth of a cent lower at $3 a penny and 9 tenths of a cent. Gold futures at $1,609.60 an ounce, down $10 and a dime. And the U.S. dollar at 82.42, that's down 0.12. The CRB index at 299.07, down 2.74 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area, as it comes from the National Weather Service for the afternoon. It says that today we'll see a 50% chance of showers, a few thunderstorms, should be cloudy, a high near 78 degrees on a west wind at about 7 miles an hour. And then this evening, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Those should come before 1 a.m. cloudy, gradually becoming partly cloudy with a low of 60 degrees on a north-northwest wind at 6 to 8, and Tuesday mostly sunny skies, a high of 83 degrees with a northwest wind at 6 to 9. Tuesday evening clear and 59 degrees, Wednesday sunny and 88, Wednesday night partly cloudy and 68. On Thursday, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy and 88 degrees. Thursday evening, showers and thunderstorms continue in 62. Friday, isolated thunderstorms, then mostly sunny at a high of 75. Friday night, clear and 54. A more complete look at the weather forecast comes up at the bottom of the half hour when we talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon. Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, on the phone line to take a look at a new kind of thing happening in Chicago. It's been a really rough day, and that started last night. Tell me about it, please.
Well, we just saw some continued selling interest materialize from the disappointing close, especially in the corn on Friday there. We saw the WASDE numbers indicate, you know, a tight situation as we move forward, and the market seems have to bought the rumor and turned around and sold the fact. Also, to a little concern that we'll continue to hear the word ethanol and what could happen to the mandate there. We've got different states sort of showing some resistance. We got a UN official talking about high-priced corn. And so for those that's been around, whenever, you know, the public starts to notice or talk about it, the fear is that maybe somebody might say something to upset the apple cart here. And so we're seeing the speculative traders come in here and follow through with the reversal in the corn we saw last week and do a little bit of liquidation. We'll see what the volume and open interest shows in the morning here. But with the excitement sort of well priced in the marketplace, the market sort of acting like it wants to consolidate and retrace some of the gains we've gained here in the last couple of weeks.
I did make note from the wire services that it did call it long liquidation on the SPAC accounts, but made no mention of the commercials really getting out of their positions. Is that important or not?
Yeah, when we looked at the trade here since last night to 2 o'clock here, we continue to see the volume occur in this 930 to 115 area, and it seems like commercials do use electronic overnight, don't get me wrong, but it seems like commercial trade is more active during the day session for say and through here, and there was some, you know, good commercial buying there early, and as the day went on it kind of dried up, so we'll see if there's some Chinese sales here that pick up here as we move along. I think the commercial side of the equation, we're going to see support on producers buying back cash sales. We'll see support on end users trying to pick up some inventory here on breaks. But there's no real urgency to step forward here and push the market. So, yeah, the commercial is the one to watch in through here, especially as we start to move into harvest time.
This afternoon, USDA will release another set of crop progress numbers. Will this one show a crop that's in better condition after a couple of inches rain that kind of made its way across to the Midwest over the last, I don't know, 14 days or so?
It could show some stabilization, maybe some slight improvement on the bean side of the ledger. You know, August it still makes or breaks the bean crop, and I think a lot of the producers we've talked to said bean crop at least is stabilized. You know, as far as corn, it's pretty well mowed off or disced up in some areas, so it's not going to it'll help the second crop of corn here this fall as we see.
See. Yeah, you don't harvest that one, by the way.
Oh. Well, good observation. Some people listening might take that the wrong way, but the ideas of being stable corn probably show just a little bit more deterioration as far as maybe seeing the very poor to very poor inch up. This time of year, it's awful hard in general really to see much improvement just due to the plants shutting down and maturing. So it'll be interesting to see what those numbers say, but I don't know if we'll see a big change.
There have been some harvesting activities over the last week and a half. Talk to anybody that's actually been in the field?
Yeah, it's all over the place. You know, the best we've heard so far is 80 bushels just west of the Bloomington Normal area. A lot of silage is taking place here, and the adjusters have put the yields anywhere from 13 to 28 bushels. I've heard of some 120 bushel corn. Not talked to that individual personally, but yeah, we're going to see a lot more actual yield reports. Test weight seems to be in this 49 pound area that we've heard so far.
And when do you expect real kind of harvest, and it should be earlier than usual to start. Is that the last week of August or sooner than that, maybe the first week of September?
I think we'll be really active by the end of the month and through here. I believe, you know, each day goes by, we'll continue to see harvest activities start to pick up. I think probably the main thing right now is, guys, is worked out with the tearing up of the crop that's been pretty well zeroed out. Once that's taken place, we'll start to hear more harvest activity here towards the end of the week, first part of next week.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
Well, it's a dynamic market, straight up, straight down. I think the bottom line that we got to remember as producers is that the overall marketplace is going to have to remain firm over a period of time to make sure we ration the short supply we're going to have this fall time.
Can I stay with you just for a second on that thought and come back to the USDA numbers from Friday morning of last week? What are your ideas about how long the market can really stay firm? Sometimes these things drop fairly quickly. Do you think it will make it all the way through at least the October time frame at these high levels?
Well, I think we're going to stay firm. That's not to say we can't have a 50, 60, 75-cent pullback. It's not like we've been hot and dry going in 4th of July, and all of a sudden we get a rain on 4th of July and go straight down into fall. We believe that the end user's not covered. They're going to use the breaks here to get some coverage on. So we feel the market's going to have to stay firm, at least going into year end. That does not mean we're going to $9, $10, $12 in corn and $20 beans, but we feel there's going to be underlying support underneath the market here to keep it firm until we get a handle on how the South American crop unfolds going into 2013.
Thanks so much, Kurt.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Monday afternoon. A whole list of things to report to you on the calendar starting tomorrow, of course. It is Illinois State Fair time, and the sale of champions kicks off at 4:30 over on the State Fairgrounds in Springfield, Illinois. And then in Collinsville on Wednesday, you can visit with Brian DeYoung. He's a weed scientist at the University of Illinois, at Southern Illinois University, but he does work with Aaron Hager here on campus from time to time, and you've heard him on this program. I've interviewed him several times over the years. He'll be part of a program down there in Collinsville. Respect the rotation. If you look that up on the web, you can find out about what's happening there with the Respect the Rotation event. It starts at 2 o'clock in the afternoon there in Collinsville. Just Google that one and you'll find it. And on Thursday of this week, Agronomy Day here on this campus. That one kicks off at 7. Of course, I'll be out emceeing the event, sending the rack wagons out into the South Farm so you can talk to the researchers and discuss what you'd like to see them do in the future and what they've been doing for you. That's Agronomy Day. It's free and open to everybody. It kicks off on 7 o'clock a.m. Thursday morning of this week. And despite the fact that St. Mary's Road has been closed over the past several weeks, it will open for this event. So you'll still be coming in from the south and the east side of the Assembly Hall on St. Mary's Road on Saturday. And then next week, I'll be out on the road again, this time with our Follow the Corn bus tour. We've been working really hard to get things set up for that. And if you haven't yet received something in the mail on the Follow the Corn bus tour, it should be coming to you. Probably should have been in your mailbox already by now, but that one will start on Monday of next week. So we have a whole bunch of things that are happening right here that belong to the University of Illinois, Southern Illinois, and of course to willag.org. You can always find us online at willag.org.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, a crop claims field supervisor. Steve Worthington is with us. He's from Country Financial and would like to talk just a bit about what producers should be and can be doing now to make sure that as they go to the field this fall, their crop insurance programs are all in order. Steve, what are the primary things that producers need to think about in the month of August and as we head into harvest?
Well, one of the primary things is if they haven't submitted a claim, they need to do so if they suspect they have a loss. And I think there's a lot of people that may be kind of speculating one way or another, but there's no penalty to turn in a claim even if they don't have a loss. But one of the reasons we want to do that is to get an adjuster in contact with the producer, and then they can deal with their particular unique situations as far as harvest and so forth, and talk about acceptable production records and keeping production separate, you know, have an understanding of their unit structure and their policy so they don't get caught in traps as far as commingled production, which can have a negative effect on their indemnity payment. That's one of the principal things right now. Also, if they think they may have a loss of $200,000 or more, I think the word has been put out quite a bit here recently about the potential for that severe of a loss. They are subject to a 3-year APH audit before we can make any payments, and we're trying to get the word out to people to try to get those records in order here before harvest starts. So it's going to make things flow a lot smoother when harvest is over and they're not having to try to dig those out. Also, be aware of the aflatoxin issue. Again, that ties into drought significantly, you know, in most cases. So far, we hasn't been much aflatoxin reported, if any. But they need to keep in mind that we need to pull samples if they run into that in their field before they put that crop into storage. That's one of the things that is very important as they begin harvest and start that process.
So let's do a couple of things. Define loss for me as it's related to the crop insurance first.
Okay. As far as the loss is concerned on their federal crop insurance, this year they're going to be focused, in, for the most part, on yield. They need to look at their summary coverage and determine what their guarantee per acre is. If they're guaranteed 150 bushel per acre and they end up harvesting 120 bushel per acre, then they have a payable loss in just about every scenario. The only exception might be if they had a revenue protection with the harvest price exclusion. Based on the prices they're developing this year, that puts us up in that 200,000 vicinity very fast. But essentially, the simplest way to look at it is their harvest of production going to be less than their guarantee?
And so they'll make a phone call to their agent. They'll get somebody out into the field. Will that person also check for aflatoxin at that time?
Well, as far as checking for aflatoxin, the process that we try to get out is to have the insured first take a sample to the local elevator. The local elevator will be able to determine whether there's any levels over 20 parts per billion, which would create an issue as far as being acceptable to the elevator. That's the starter. If they get that kind of result, they need to contact their adjuster or report that and get an adjuster out there as soon as possible. If the adjuster can't make it there in a timely fashion, the adjuster can instruct them to leave strips and we'll be out there and pull samples. We'll need to take those samples to an approved testing facility and get a test from that. It will require an advance payment, and our adjusters will be able to tell each insured just how much that test will cost.
And if aflatoxin is present in an amount that is over the 20 parts per billion, then what kind of storage problems does it create, and where should that corn be stored?
As far as farm storage and so forth, they need to try to segregate that production from any other production. We don't want to have a situation where they have production from an uncontaminated field mixed with the aflatoxin field. That just makes things a lot worse for them. Segregate that production. That's the biggest thing that I can tell them as far as farm storing. And then also, if they're taken to the elevator and the elevator does happen to accept it, they need to have the elevator pull a second sample to be sent to an approved laboratory. And if the elevator cannot deliver that, then our adjusters will pick that sample up and take it to the appropriate facility.
Speaking of the segregation, you've made note of that a couple of times. Oftentimes producers will be storing in their own bins, maybe more than one field. Is that going to create a problem this year too?
Not necessarily. All they have to do is if they finish one field and that has an associated aflatoxin test with it, then they need to notify the adjuster if they're going to put additional contaminated fields in with that. And then we can mark or measure the bin, and that way we can develop some separation. There also might be other ways to do that, such as weighing it, load records, combine monitor records, and so forth. You know, they want to try to keep that aflatoxin production separated from the from any normal fields, but we can separate it within a structure as long as, if at all, is a positive test for aflatoxin.
And does that same sort of function go for just claims without an aflatoxin, for just a drought claim or a lack of production
Absolutely.
Claim?
Absolutely. Yeah. If there's just a yield-based situation, absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that up, because that's very important, that even in normal circumstances, in a normal drought-like situation without aflatoxin, that same procedures hold true, as they need to notify us when they want to store separate units in the same facility or of that nature. And also, we can review what things are available, as I said before, combine monitors, load records, and so forth.
Anything we haven't covered that we should have, Steve?
It's very important to make that phone call if necessary to protect their indemnity. I think in the rush of harvest, sometimes things get set aside and so forth, but if they think of it in terms of protecting any lost payment that's due them, a phone call can save thousands of dollars at times.
Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome.
That's Crop Claims Field Supervisor Steve Worthington of Country Financial talking about crop insurance, the drought, the impact it may have on your fields, and the indemnity payments. Call your agent today to file a claim.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. It is Monday afternoon. Lisa Jones of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County is on the phone line. Lisa, you just heard that discussion about aflatoxin. I suppose the Andersons and most grain elevators are gearing up to test for aflatoxin. How will that happen at your facility?
Well, Todd, we're still trying to work on how detailed the procedures will be. I think it'll just depend on, once we get into harvest, what it actually looks like. But the way it stands now, the aflatoxin machine, which we've recently purchased, can't get 100% accurate read on aflatoxin unless it's 20% moisture or below. So far what we think we're going to end up doing is putting the sample from the under a black light, and then that will tell us whether or not it has the fungus. Once we see that under a black light, it looks like what we'll do is go ahead and grind that sample. We actually have test strips, which will tell us, narrow it down to the parts per billion per sample. Now, in terms of what guys are going to have to submit for crop insurance, I think they're going to have to just do that on a case-by-case basis. But it looks like that'll have to go to a third party to be done, but that's something that we could hold that sample that we test to be picked up by their adjuster if need be.
In fact, it will have to go to a third party. I didn't leave very much time, maybe 30 seconds or so. So quickly, basis and your numbers for the day.
We're still 20 over on cash corn, so that put us 802 cash today. Our fall basis, we're 10 over the December. We were down 16 and three quarters, so that'll put us 802 on fall corn as well. In terms of beans, we're currently 50 over the November, so that's going to put us 1650 for cash, and then we're 10 under the November for fall, so that's going to put us 1590.
Thanks so much, Lisa.
Thanks.
Lisa Jones is with the Andersons, back in two with the weather forecast.
It's International Left-Handers Day, where southpaws celebrate the right to be left-handed. In 1867, a Secretary of Agriculture report listed various farm implements, including left-handed plows. The report said that left-handed plows were in common use and that some farmers insisted the left-handed version was superior because they could commence plowing in the middle of a field, turning all the furrows inward. On this day in agricultural history in 1872, Richard Willstatter was born. He won the 1915 Nobel Prize for Chemistry for his study of the structure of chlorophyll and other plant pigments. In 1902, Felix Wankel was born. A German engineer, he invented the first rotary internal combustion engine. Instead of moving pistons, the Wankel engine uses an orbiting rotor shaped as a curved equilateral triangle. The engine has fewer moving parts than its piston cousin, and it's also lighter and takes up less space. And in 1913, the first true stainless steel was cast in Sheffield, England. The steel alloy contained almost 13% chromium and 0.25% carbon. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago is on the phone line to take a look at the weather forecast. Hi, Mark. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. Thanks, Todd.
I said it was a beautiful afternoon here in the Midwest in Champaign, Illinois this afternoon as we started the program. I still think it is because it's gray and cool and there has some scattered rain around somewhere. It's about time. What can you tell me about the forecast?
Yeah, well, certainly the scattered rains here in downtown Chicago. Going, gosh, it's feeling like a fall day rather than a summer day here in Illinois, especially up in northern Illinois. We think that the bottom line is that, you know, the drought of 2012 that's been in place here and that's been dominated here, the pattern over the past few months, we see that coming to an end. And we see the pattern here snapping and basically breaking right now in a much different pattern is now shaping up across North America and the Midwest. We're seeing that now with some rain development here in the Midwest, as well as the influx of cooler temperatures. And bottom line is that for the Midwest, the next 10 days will actually be slightly cooler than normal. And along with that will come increased rainfall prospects. It's not an abrupt change, or it's not a turnaround to a 180 degrees here where you're going just unseasonably cold and unseasonably wet. But certainly from a rainfall standpoint here, many more opportunities for rain coming up with this cooler pattern that's now evolving.
Well, that sounds really good as long as you don't turn the water faucet on and leave it on, because that would just add insult to injury over time. Okay, so if the Midwest is looking better, that should be good for the soybean crop. Corn crop probably a little help, but not a lot. What about the rest of the world? How are they doing at this point then? Are they getting the same kind of change? Because much of the Northern Hemisphere has been dry.
Yeah, we're starting to see those changes actually right across the Europe-Russia sector. You know, Ukraine and Southwest Russia, which has also had a very hot and dry summer, and that's reduced corn yields as well as other summer crops. That they're actually now seeing their wettest week in 2 months across that area as this closed low sits across Ukraine and Southwest Russia and produces widespread rain. So boost of soil moisture reserves there, likely coming too late for summer crops, but could boost soil moisture here prior to winter crop planting, which starts up there next month across that region. Elsewhere, we're seeing some increased rain potential across northern India and some of your driest areas in northwestern India, which monsoon rainfall has been deficient. Those areas are also seeing an increase in rain activity. And then across eastern China, which has been hit hard by heavy rainfall here in recent weeks, that area is now turning drier, which also that's a beneficial situation for them.
Yeah, maybe you should turn your attention to South America. Tell me how their winter has gone, whether they have replenished soil moisture levels or not.
Well, they're now in the process of replenishing soil moisture in Argentina. They had up through last week had a very dry winter. Now, normally it's very dry with climatically low precip totals during this time of year, but they saw a good rain event last week, another rain event here this week, and a follow-up rain event next week in Argentina. So certainly an improving situation as we go through the second half of August. For Brazil, overall here, they've had a dry winter. Also, they're normally dry, but kind of below normal precip across Brazil. That's not a concern at this time unless it really continues in October.
Hey, Mark, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Dad.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us on the Closing Market Report, and that wraps it up. I'm Todd Gleason.